Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm so sorry.
Now, you did something that I cannot easily forgive.
Sorry.
Lucy, listen, I want to apologize for blowing up at you.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for what I said, and I'm sorry for how I said it.
We're sorry.
I'm sorry, Mo. Please forgive me.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, when somebody does you wrong, it's perfectly natural to feel hurt or offended. Well, as a matter of fact, it's actually unnatural to want to forgive that person. However, if you're a Christian, you know that forgiveness is the hallmark of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He forgives our sins and then commands us to show that same forgiveness to those who trespass against us, as one translation puts it. Well, we benefit in a number of ways when we forgive others, and that's what I want to talk to you about during the next half hour. Dr. Dave Stoop is my guest, and our topic is the healing power of forgiveness. So keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. During the next half hour, you're going to learn a valuable lesson about the healing power of forgiveness. Dr. Dave Stoop is with us here on the program. He's written a book called Forgiving the Unforgivable. If you've been wounded, who hasn't? If you've had a wound that's gone on too long to where the pain makes you move in a different direction and away from the people that you long to be with and be reconciled to, I really hope that you can stay with us for the next half hour or so, or go to homeward.com, sign up for the podcast, listen to this program at your own pace, because the principles are just too valuable and the conversation very, very rich as well. And now here's Dr. Jim Burns with part one of today's program.
Well, forgiveness brings healing and, frankly, more forgiveness. Today, we're talking with Dr. David Stoop, one of my favorite guests. We're talking about forgiving the unforgivable. And, David, it's great to be with you again.
Hey, it's a delight.
You've written a book called Forgiving the Unforgivable. Mm-hmm. And, frankly, the fact is that that's not easy to do. Forgiveness is tough, isn't it?
It is. Phil Yancey said it's an unnatural act, and I think it is. You know, the natural response is revenge.
God makes a big deal out of forgiveness. Why is it so difficult for us?
Because we're still sinful human beings, I think, you know, and we're caught up in the human way of doing things. And when Jesus taught on this, he really took it to a whole different level that no one else has ever taken it to. So what Jesus teaches about forgiveness is radical. It's a radically different thing, and no other religion, no other teaching even comes close to it in terms of what's expected of us. You know, there's several places in Scripture that are frightening because, you know, Matthew 6, after he teaches about the Lord's Prayer, and in there he says, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, which ties them together. He finishes it by saying, you know, if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart, my Heavenly Father's not going to forgive you. Hmm. And in Matthew 18, after the parable of the unforgiving servant, he makes the same statement. And that doesn't fit our theology. You know, the theology of grace doesn't really, you know, mesh with that. And I can't mesh it. And all I can do is say, hey, Jesus said it. I better pay attention to it. That's how central it is. It's probably the central part of our obedience in being his disciple, is that we have a forgiving spirit.
And yet sometimes you'll even want to offer forgiveness, but the other person is not willing to respond to it. What do you do in that case when...
You don't worry about it, because forgiveness is a singular act. It's something that I do, and I don't need to involve the other person. And I think this is important because, you know, I had to forgive my father, and it was 20 years after he had died. So if he was a part of that process, then I was lost. I couldn't do anything about it. But because it's a singular process, it's what I do, I'm free to do that no matter what the other person does. And, you know, what I do with the other person is an option that I look at afterwards. But I don't involve them in that process.
You know, you told the story in your book, Forgiving the Unforgivable. Actually, it's a story that you told about a gentleman named Randy. Talk about that story. Tell us that story.
A mutual friend of ours was telling me that he was preaching, and God pointed to him to two people while he was sitting on the platform and saying, you know, I'm not happy with your attitude about those people, you know, and he just has this ongoing conversation with him and realizes that what God wants him to do is to say, you know, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he was holding a grudge against them, and he didn't even involve them in this process. He just, and there was just a release, you know, and you see this, you know, Jesus does this from the cross. He forgives those who, he says, don't even have a clue what they're doing. Stephen does it as he's being stoned, basically. He says, you know, don't lay this sin to their account, which is basically saying forgive them. Job has to do this with his so-called comforters. You know, God says to the comforters, you didn't speak to me right, and you better go and ask Job to pray for you, or else you're going to die, you know. And Job prays for him and forgives them, you know. And so it's like, you know, it's that same thing of that forgiveness that's unexpected, you know. And what Randy then shares with this woman after this event, you know, and he's counseling this young woman who had a horrible, horrible relationship with her father. Father was cruel, abusive, I mean, beyond words. And had cut him off, just cut him out of her life completely. Hadn't seen him for years. And she's counseling with him about this as her pastor. And he says, you know what I think God is saying that you need to do is you pray that prayer, Father, forgive him, for he doesn't know what he's doing. And she protests. He knew exactly what he's doing. She said, well, just God is telling me to tell you this, you know. You think on it. And she struggled. She struggled for days with it. And finally, at dinner time one day, she was able to break through, and she prayed, you know, Father, forgive him. He didn't know what he was doing. And she said the next morning, as she's getting ready to go to work, he knocks on the door.
The father knocks on the door.
I hadn't seen him now for years, you know, even though it's in the same town. And he comes storming into her house, and he says, I don't know what happened, but yesterday around dinner time, he said, something just overwhelmed me, the reality that I haven't treated you and your sisters right, and I need to make it right, and I'm not sure what I got to do, but I got to make it right. And he leaves.
Amazing.
And she's just totally blown away. Well, I'm blown away as he's telling me this story.
Well, I have goosebumps right now.
Yeah, you know, I have been praying that in some situations, you know, and there's an amazing kind of dynamic that goes on as not only I do some forgiving, but then I ask God to do the forgiving as well, because, and I acknowledge they didn't know what they were doing, and so forgive them as well, you know, and the freedom that comes from that. I mean, that's the whole thing. Forgiveness is a gift that we give to ourselves. It's interesting. There's a fascinating book written by Simon Wiesenthal, the Holocaust survivor, called The Sunflower. And he tells this story about how this German SS trooper asked him for forgiveness for the atrocities that he and his soldiers had done to Jews. And Wiesenthal leaves without saying a word. And then he's bothered by this. And some years later, he writes the story and sends it to a number of people and says, what would you have done? And every Jewish person that responded said, you did the right thing. You had no right to forgive him. Because see, in the Jewish way of teaching, there are unforgivable things like murder and things like that. And but the Christians said, no, you should forgive him. But there was a 25th anniversary edition where they got rid of some of those early ones, and they added a whole bunch, including, you know, Dennis Prager, who's a Jewish man who's very familiar with Christian way of thinking. And he says, you Christians have an easy forgiveness, you know. He doesn't really understand. He ought to go see the Passion, and then he might understand. Right. It's not easy. But he says, for us Jews, it's a burden to forgive. See? Well, it is a burden, you know, unless we understand the context in which we are to forgive. And that context comes out of Matthew 18, where we have been forgiven so much. How dare we not forgive someone else? And so it's easy to go on then and say, you know, not only do I forgive, but Father, you forgive them as well.
What do you say to the person who's been sexually abused, perhaps by a father or a stepfather, anybody, mm-hmm. been sexually abused, the person who really has had lots of trauma and has been a victim? They know they need to forgive, mm-hmm. but does forgiveness also mean coming back in relationship with them?
No. See, forgiveness and reconciliation are two separate things, and we make that very clear.
Very important in the book.
Very important point. And it's a kind of a startling insight for some people, unfortunately. The church today still is strongly influenced by Jewish teaching. And Jewish teaching on forgiveness doesn't come from the Old Testament. All the Old Testament talks about when it talks about forgiveness is God's forgiveness of us. It doesn't talk about how you and I forgive. It's part of some of the stories in there, like of Joseph and his brothers, you know, but there's no teaching in that. So the teaching comes from the rabbis over the centuries and what the rabbis taught about forgiveness, and it's not inspired. What they say is you only forgive when someone repents. See, so those go together. See, so if you don't repent, I don't have to forgive you. Mm-hmm. But if you repent, then I'm required to forgive, but only three times. So, and then after that, I don't have to forgive you, which gives you some insight into Jesus.
Right. But that's not the conversation. Right. So Jesus was saying things that was incredibly radical for their day.
He was blowing their minds.
So when they're saying seven times seven, etc.
Well, and then see, Peter thinks, well, seven is the perfect number. So obviously that must be what Jesus is saying. And then Jesus says, no, not seven, but 70 times seven, 490. I mean, whoever's going to keep track of 490, you know, there's no limit. You don't keep track. You just forgive. It's required. It's an act of obedience. And so that means the other person can't be involved. Back in those days, you remember the days we had that hospital program,
right.
And we had a young man there who talked about his pastor had done something to him that really hurt him. And when he confronted the pastor denied it, you know. And I said, well, you need to forgive him and just move on. Oh, I can't forgive him. Well, I said, why not? Because he hasn't repented. And we went back and forth, and I finally said to him, I said, you have a very cruel God that you serve. He kind of was startled, you know. I thought we were serving the same God. And I said, why? He said, why? I said, your God is asking you to be obedient and forgiving, but he's giving the power of your obedience to somebody else. So if that man doesn't repent, you're now powerless to be obedient. You can't follow Jesus and be a forgiving person, you know. He has control over you. He never could get that. He couldn't internalize it.
That is great insight. And actually what that is incredibly freeing.
Yeah, definitely. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're hoping to free some people, to liberate some captive hearts that have been just bound up by the strain of unforgiveness. And today here on the program, Dr. Jim Burns talking with his friend and mentor, Dr. Dave Stoop, about the healing power of forgiveness. And these are principles that Dave outlines in his book called Forgiving the Unforgivable. We have it up on our website. You can Google it too if you'd like more information on where you can find a copy of that book. More from Dr. Jim Burns on the healing power of forgiveness in just a moment as Homeward continues.
If you want to experience true and lasting intimacy in your marriage, forgiveness is essential. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward.com. I remember Jeff and Sheila came to me for counseling. They were really at a standstill in their marriage. He had cheated on her, and he really needed to ask her for forgiveness. But he just wasn't willing to do that, and so Sheila was wondering if she should go ahead with a divorce. About a month into the counseling, Sheila wanted to begin the session by asking Jeff a question. She then began to ask his forgiveness for some of the ways she felt she had hurt him during the marriage. Well, it was incredible. You should have seen the look on Jeff's face. He was stunned. Then as the tears started to well up in his eyes, he said, "You don't have to ask me to forgive you. I'm the one who should be asking you to forgive me." Forgiveness is a vital part of creating an intimate marriage. And for a copy of my free tip sheet called The Healing Power of Forgiveness, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. Today we're talking about forgiving the unforgivable and how it's really freedom is found in forgiveness. We're talking with Dr. David Stoop today. David Stoop is the founder and director of the Center for the Family Therapy in Newport Beach, California. He's the author of a great book called Forgiving the Unforgivable, as well as many other books. In fact, one of my favorite books, Dave, is a book that you wrote on forgiving your father, making peace with your father.
Mm-hmm.
Really a very powerful statement when we talk about that. And you mentioned it earlier that you had to forgive your own father after 20 years of him passing away. He's been dead for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Do you find that to be the case within your practice, that some people need to forgive a parent for doing something and the parent's already passed away?
That's often the case. And they think that, you know, what can I do? They're gone. You know, somebody rushes to the bedside, you know, of a dying parent and don't make it in time, and they think it's hopeless. And I share with them my own story, you know, how God just really confronted me 20 years later that said, you got to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't let me off the hook, you know, and that became the context of a lot of the things that I've learned and shared about forgiveness over the years since then. But yeah, I think it's important because, well, one of my favorite writers is Pat Conroy, and, you know, he did Prince of Tides and The Great Santini. But in one of his books, I think it was about when he was at the Citadel, he starts a chapter with the words, "On the day I forgave my father, my life began." Mm. And that's the common experience that I've seen in people over and over again as I've worked with him in counseling, and as, you know, I get letters from the books that it was life-changing. It freed me. And that was my story. I became a different person when I was able to forgive my father and move forward. That's basically what forgiveness is the debt is canceled. You don't owe me, you know. And it was interesting, you know, and I think this is common too. You can lose a parent, and then, you know, 5 years later, I did something that I thought was pretty nice. And I thought, I wonder what my dad would have thought of that, you know. And then I thought, well, that's absurd. He probably wouldn't have noticed any more now than he did back when he was living.
Is that still longing for
yeah, something?
Incredible, powerful influence, obviously, of our parents. I'm thinking about a couple who I know who told me not too long ago that they sleep 6 inches from each other. They turn their backs to each other. The woman is bitter, angry, pessimistic. The man I don't know as well, so I don't know what his thing is. But I said, it sounds like there's some real anger going on between you, and there probably needs to be some forgiveness. I actually thought that she would say maybe there was an affair or something like that. Mm-hmm. She said, you know what? He just doesn't treat me like I need to be treated, I deserve more. What do you say to that couple? Because I think there's a lot of couples out there who probably need a dose of forgiveness to make their marriage thrive.
Well, forgiveness is the glue that holds the marriage together and does let it thrive. And the thing that we don't see, and I think Jesus knows the human spirit and body better than anybody because he created us, a spirit of unforgiveness will destroy us, literally. It's a killer. You know, I think that's one of the reasons, you know, from a strictly practical point of view, that I want to be a forgiving person. I don't want to let any spirit of bitterness build up within me, because not only will it destroy me, as Hebrews 12 says, it'll destroy those that I love. And so basically she's destroying herself and she's destroying him and he's destroying her, and that's tragic. See? She's looking for something from him, and probably that has a lot to do even with how she was raised and some of the deficits there and the woundedness in her growing up years that she thought he would fulfill, and he doesn't know how to fulfill it. And boy, that's sad. And that's all too common a picture. And, you know, it'd be fascinating to encourage her to do the forgiving without anything changing in him, and then to watch what changes in him.
Interesting. Boy.
Because it would.
It's interesting. I was talking because they live near you. I think I'm going to send them to you.
Okay.
You can help them.
I'd
because that
the
is
challenge.
The advice that they need. Great, great, great people who are struggling in their marriage because of some deficits. And we all have our deficits.
Yeah.
And part of that is acknowledging those deficits and then seeking forgiveness from one another. And it's a process, isn't it? It's not, it's not I forgive you on this day, but it's a process of forgiving over a lifetime in terms of relationships with couples and with their children.
Well, you remember the story of Wayne and Arlene that we tell in there, because you were in the church
right,
at that time.
Sure
and
was.
Their son-in-law murdered their daughter, and they very quickly forgave him. And I was always bothered by their story, you know. And I was on a TV program with Doug Webster, and he had myself and he had Arlene on to talk about forgiveness. And during a break, I said to her, so it's always bothered me with how quickly you were able to forgive your son-in-law, you know. And she said, oh, you know, we went through the whole thing that you've described, this process, but she said we made the decision at the beginning that we were going to forgive. Then we went through all the grieving and all the struggle to where finally we were able to finalize it, you know. And so she taught me something in there that I've incorporated in here, that there's a three-stage process that we go through.
Go through that three-stage process.
Well, it's basically the decision, I'm going to forgive. Mm-hmm. And I may say, you know, I'm going to forgive you. I may not be able to right now, but I'm going to, and it's my intention. Or I may say, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not complete yet. And then I go through that emotional process, and that process involves grieving, which has anger and sadness with it. It involves setting some healthy limits if that's necessary. If somebody's alive and abusive, I may need to set healthy limits and boundaries with them. And I go through that. That may take a while. That can take a year or so sometimes, depending on how deep the wound is. And then there comes a point, though, where I finalize it. You know, it's like, it's done. I forgive. It's over. The debt is canceled. It's like a bank, you know. The bank forgives loans. And so they say, well, here we got these loans that we think we're going to need to forgive, so we're going to make the decision. And then they analyze it to see, you know. And I said to a bank president one time, I bet you weep as you do that. It's so painful to do, you know. And he kind of averted my gaze. He didn't respond.
Because he
probably did. Yeah. And you're angry at these people, sure. You know, and you go through all that natural kind of response. And then you come to a meeting where you say, okay, you know, these are the loans that we forgive, and it's done, see. And now I don't owe anything. If my loan is forgiven, I don't owe. I can go in and try and pay it, and it'll mess up their books. They won't take it because the debt's gone. And that's what forgiveness is. It's the canceling of a debt.
It's the perfect illustration of Jesus hanging on a cross.
Yeah.
You know, looking down and basically saying, your sins are forgiven.
It's finished. It's done. It's all taken care of. The debt's canceled. You don't. The debt of sin is death, and the debt's been paid. So now you don't owe anything, saying. That's the good news of the gospel. But then here's another point on the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. See, the work of the church isn't to go out and try to create forgiveness, because forgiveness was finalized on the cross. And the good news is you've been forgiven. See? Nobody's going to spend eternity without God because of unforgiveness, because the blood of Christ covered everything. But then why do they spend eternity without God? It's because they refuse to be reconciled. You know, you go out on the street here and say, I got good news for you. God has forgiven you everything, you know. And they'll look at you and say, are you weirdo? You know, did you just escape from the loony bin? Mm-hmm. And they ignore what you say. So they choose not to be reconciled. And you talk to someone else and they say, tell me more. I want that in my life, you know. And they choose to be reconciled. So reconciliation is a separate process. And that's where Paul says, you know, we are ambassadors of Christ now, ministers seeking to, as he through us seeks to reconcile the world to us. That's the ongoing work. Forgiveness was done on the cross. That was settled. It's taken care of.
It's a great reminder from Dave Stoop. Dave, we're out of time, but I've got to ask you, can you come back next time so we can continue this conversation?
I'd love to.
All right, and we'll look forward to hearing the continuing conversation on the part two of this edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in his conversation with Dr. Dave Stoop on the healing power of forgiveness. If you go to homeward.com, by the way, hit the articles and media section and just type in the word forgiveness, you're going to find dozens, if not hundreds, of articles, tip sheets, video clips, and more, all on this subject of forgiveness, and they're free to access at homeward.com. Hope you'll be able to check those out, even today, even right now. Jim, good conversation, always, with Dr. Dave Stoop. This topic, though, and the conversation you and Dave having, kind of opened up some rather vulnerable spots in both of you, and it was great to hear that dialogue today.
I find that when I'm with Dave, and as you know, Dave's a good friend of mine, that many times he's the guy who can just give me great wisdom and insight, and I've appreciated over the years Dave's understanding of the fact that we can be healed by the power of forgiveness. Not just someone giving us forgiveness, but us offering forgiveness. Because oftentimes, forgiving someone is really where the power of the healing, if you would, takes place.
And that healing affects us on three different levels, doesn't it? Physically, spiritually, emotionally.
Right. And I think a lot of times when we're filled with anger and we're all pent up with struggles or whatever, it does affect our physical life and our emotional life. And we sort of forget about the spiritual life as well. But it's all three, and sometimes all three in one.
Now, a moment ago, we were talking about this whole concept of forgiveness, and you mentioned that there's a story that you like to share that talks about the whole forgiveness issue, and the story's called Guilty, is that what I understand?
Yeah, it's a story that I actually used to tell to kids when I was speaking to hundreds of thousands of kids in a year, and it's a true story. It's about a guy who was in Chicago. He was a graduate student, and he walked into the L train and took it to Michigan Avenue, which is central Chicago.
Right.
Pulled out of the L train, and all of a sudden he just looked around. He was in a three-piece suit, and he pointed at someone and he said, guilty, screamed it out, stopped the crowd. And then he moved on. And then he went someplace else and he looked at someone else and he said, guilty. Well, people were worried about this guy. Is it demented? He walked up the stairs to Michigan Avenue, went into a store and just pointed to a clerk and said, guilty. Well, finally he called the police, and the police came. They couldn't do anything because he didn't have a gun.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying anything but the words guilty, and he wouldn't talk to anybody. Later in the day, he continued to do this. He drew a following, and they started saying, you know what, maybe he knows something that others don't know about him, because when he pointed at so-and-so, you know, she is guilty, or he is guilty. And when they began to really take notice, everybody he was talking to was guilty of something.
Hmm.
Finally, they thought, well, maybe he's a prophet. And then he got back on the L train and he just left. But for days, people talked about this. Well, the fact is that we all are guilty.
Mm.
And in a youth event, what I'll do is I'll point to kids and I'll say, guilty, you know, guilty, guilty, kind of the dramatic. And it's interesting because we all are guilty. And yet Jesus Christ hung on a cross so that we could be free of the guilt that we deserve. And he bore the pain and the guilt so that we might have life eternal and life abundant. That's what begins the process of healing for any of us, that we recognize that Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And if Jesus Christ has forgiven us for who we are, for as guilty as we are, then who are we to not forgive someone else? And so I think when we forgive others, we actually receive it from Christ, and then Christ allows us to have the privilege to forgive others. And when we do that, not only do relationships come back together, but also freedom comes. And a lot of people who are Christian actually still don't have the freedom, because they're still dealing with their own guilt of their past, and they haven't allowed God's forgiveness to permeate their life, and they've also held back in anger and not forgiven others. So I think it's a very important concept that Dave and I are talking about today.
Certainly is, and we're grateful that Dr. Dave Stoop was kind enough to come by the Homeward Studios to have this conversation on the healing power of forgiveness. And Dave's book is called Forgiving the Unforgivable. You can Google it and find more information about that. Also, in your own marriage, if you're looking to for a way to use forgiveness as a healing agent, we encourage you to read Dr. Jim Burns' book called Creating an Intimate Marriage. You can order a copy of that directly from our online resource center. And when you do, as with any of Jim's books, if you order one of Jim's books from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We truly appreciate that faithful and tax-deductible financial support. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.